first hour of the show is brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Now, here's your host, Johnny Radio himself, John Harden.
What it is back. What it is. No, I got it. What it is back. What it is. I got it going. Come on, wanna change, but you're still there, laying down, paying the Lord. Break it down, back it up.
Yo, is the words of the man John Harden, but he is not here on today. Happy Monday to you. Welcome to Happy Hour on Sports 56. I am Darian Newsom, sitting in for the world famous and vacationing John Harden. I know John has a lot of PTO time, people. I know that's what you're probably saying because you heard Darian not too long ago sitting in for the world famous John Harden. But needless to say, over the next 48 hours, I'll be sitting in, me and my brother, Mr. Jayham. I almost call him John. Hopefully we get a Landon Schmidt appearance. Who knows? But welcome aboard. How are you on this beautiful Monday? There is so much to get into today, Mr. Ham.
Man, we got to thaw out first.
Got to thaw out.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little chilly out there, isn't it?
Man, a little too chilly for my liking, but I like it cold, but I don't like it like Arctic blast level cold.
That's what you're going to get, man. If you watch me on Channel 5, you know, you would know that we were talking about Arctic blast and whatnot. My meteorologist, Mr. Eric Brill, holds it down for me on the weekend. But big week, big day, big weekend. Man, the show is jam-packed. So much to get to. Before we get into anything, we want to give props to John Harden's Houston Mustangs. You just heard Mr. Dave Woloshin just give them all the props in the world doing his medals, and I want to follow up doing the same thing. Hell of a day for John not to be here. Regardless of the record, he stayed steadfast with those guys. Every Friday, they're up here. Coach Bennett is pumping positivity into his team. And look what happened. They go to Germantown, and they beat one of the better teams in the city of Memphis, Mr. Ham.
They eliminated my little cousin from out of playoff.
And you were shouting out your little cousin the other day. Yes, you were.
It's just one of those deals. But they told us a couple weeks ago, I don't think you were here then, that they didn't even really look at Germantown as their biggest rival no more. They said their biggest rival was Kyrieville.
Oh, man.
You know, with Houston. So,
add a little feud to the fire. That's what they did.
But nevertheless, to go back, you know, to go back to Germantown. This is the second time in 3 years they've knocked Germantown out of the playoffs, and they won both of those at Germantown.
But I guarantee you this is, quote-unquote, the worst team. I think the first time it was probably expected.
They won the state championship.
You see what I'm saying? They walked into this thing with one win, and I was kind of confused on how a one-win team could get in the playoffs.
What it is, they have five. The Reasons are five teams now, so four of them are going to qualify to get in. So the one win that they got, I think, in league play was over Cordova, and we actually, that's the day that we were out at the Pink Palace Arts and Crafts Fest over at Survivors Park, and we talked with them that day, and that day they were searching for that win. They was like 0-5 at that point. Me and John told them, we're like, y'all gonna get over the hump, man. It might be tonight, and it was that night, and then they got us another one, you know. It's pretty good, man.
They certainly did, and I'll make I ain't gonna make that confession. I didn't have that many wins in my senior year. I ain't gonna tell you how many we had.
Made it to the playoffs, but, you know, the whole deal, but I didn't expect, we didn't go beyond round one.
When you have a downtrodden, you know, not the best season or whatnot, you know, you feel kind of bad. So, shout out, cap off, tilt to the hat to those seniors, man. Those seniors who give their all and have future hopes of playing college ball. Hope everything works out for you guys. But let me go ahead and set the show up. Penny Hardaway and the Tigers, they're heading to Oxford on tomorrow. We'll get into a little Penny Hardaway and his Tigers going 1-0 versus San Francisco over the weekend. We don't even want to. That's San Francisco, they just gave me a moment. I had a moment yesterday, y'all, versus those doggone Rams. We'll get into the top 25 college football today. We'll have Mr. Jake Crane on in just a minute of Crane and Company. What else do we have? Tigers football. We all saw what happened on Friday. Silverfield not being able to get the job done. And I just didn't like the way that first down was gotten by that quarterback. I forget his name, but it looked like an option type of play. Had the entire defense fooled. We were looking for pass, and all he needed was 4 yards. He gets about 9 or 10 slides, and
they just kicked our butt for a night, man.
Yeah, but we had a chance. That's what hurt so bad. Like you know, I hate to be matter of fact, man, but we had an opportunity up until then. If we stop them, if we blitz, if we do something and get the ball back, we have an opportunity. That was my point. But we'll get into a lot of those things with Terry Davis of the Tri-State Defender a little later on, and Terry is on fire. I don't know if you're following Terry Davis, but by all means, go and follow Terry Davis on Facebook, the X or the Twitter, however you may call it. But Terry is on fire with these post-game interviews. And yesterday versus OKC, we'll get into some of his interactions with Triple J, Ja Morant, as well as Mr. Rookie of the Year. I'm going to go ahead and call it Cedric Coward. We'll get into a lot of Grizzly talk with him. So hopefully time permits and we can get to a lot of things that Mr. Terry Davis is all over. Want to send melancholy, happy trails, bon voyage, rest in peace to both Lenny Wilkins and Paul Tagliabue. Those were guys. I didn't watch Lenny growing up, but Lenny was my coach growing up. Not my coach, but Lenny was one of the coaches that I saw. When I think of NBC basketball back then, I think of Lenny Wilkins, Magic Johnson, those guys. So
Lenny came along at a time where, see, I'm thankful to have parents who are both basketball heads.
Yeah.
So they was able to put me on game about who was who early.
Yeah.
Lenny was one of those dudes that I got to explain. Like, he was a legend then.
Coaching the Hawks, that's what I heard.
He was with the Cavs when I first introduced to him. This when they had Mark Price, Brad Doherty, John Hyrod Williams, Larry Nance, those squads, you know what I'm saying? And then he eventually moved over to the Hawks. But it's like, he was always presented to me as like, that's a legend.
He was smooth too,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, smooth about
it.
He looked like he was a brown liquor drinker.
Yeah, good bourbon and a snifter guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, we'll get into a lot of those things. We'll ask Terry Davis some of his thoughts. We'll have Ball U University.
Ball U Academy.
Academy.
I got you back. Because I got plenty of Ball U Academy gear. I was there at the time of creative inspiration for Ball U Academy. So like Martin told Tim Robbins on Nothing to Lose, therefore it entitles me to partial of this criminalistic endeavor.
I like it too, man. Well, my man Myra Jenkins, man, and just a little bit at the top of the 12 o'clock hour. But yeah, and like I said, in a second, we have Jake Crane, and he is on fire. If you guys follow Jake Crane with Crane and Company, he has been going off about a lot of these SEC games, man, the Alabama Crimson Tide. He's really, really passionate about Auburn. We'll get into that. We'll ask him, a lot of his thoughts on, the movement that he saw. It felt like moving day over the weekend in college football. A lot of the teams that I thought would win, the Texas A&Ms, they kind of showed their value. Sometimes you have to show your work, and that's I've really been on top of Texas A&M, and I'll continue to stay on them. They went into the land of Missouri Tigers and took care of business, man. But they weren't the only team. Ohio State did their thing. Let's see, Vandy. That's what I wanted to shout out. Shout out to Vandy, man. At one point in time, one would think that Vandy was fraudulent, but they have a victory over LSU. Now they have a victory over Auburn. It's like, wow, anchor down, in the words of our man Brian Dakins, man. I mean, I just magical.
And they're a long way away from Jay Cutler, I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
I mean, not to besmirch Jay Cutler, because he was a top 11 pick in the draft. I think he went 11th overall. He actually went 11th overall. He was a starter at Vanderbilt, and they never won.
What?
They never had a winning season when Jay Cutler was quarterbacking, but he still went 11th overall.
James Franklin is coach.
I think he played under Woody Woodenhofer, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
It was years before James Franklin.
Yeah, it was years before James Franklin. Okay. All right. Shout out to Mr. Cutler. But like I said, big college weekend, man. Yeah, South Florida getting the win. USC. Shout out to James Madison, man. They cracked the top 25, number 24. They went into Marshall, which I thought they should have won a little more handedly, but shout out to them. Georgia keeps rolling over, I'm going to call it my bullies, Mississippi State Bulldogs. Great season so far. I mean, if they don't get another victory, absolute great season so far for the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Georgia winning 41-21. Continuing top 25, Texas Tech. Taking down BYU, a lot of people thought this was, kind of a sort of a play-in game, so to speak. Loser leave town, that type of deal. BYU taking the lumps on their head, 29-7. We'll see tomorrow night how this kind of affects them in the rankings, how this affects them for their playoff outlook. I got a feeling that, BYU may be able to, they may be able to do a little something. Indiana, catch of the year. How packed of a show do you have when you get to the Indiana Hoosiers and the catch heard around the world versus Penn State? And they can't blame that on James Franklin.
No, they can't blame that one on James Franklin. Can't you know blame what? That on James. For a hot second, I thought it would have been a catch on Sunday, too, until I had to take a more detailed look at the replay. Like, it looked like he got both of them down, but he only got that one down before the other one dragged out of bounds, before he got the other one out of bounds or whatnot. But a catch on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. That's
no
catch
less
on Saturday.
About it. And the reaction to it by Gus Johnson was epic.
Oh, yeah. Gus, I forget about that. I don't know if he got there. Maybe in the second hour, we probably pulled it up. Hey, man, Gus Johnson, he lost his voice or something of that nature.
Gus need to get an NIL with like Loon's throat losses or something. Halls or something, man.
But I heard someone kind of criticizing the call of Gus Johnson. But the one thing he pointed out and caveated was, we know who Gus Johnson is. Oh, we know the expertise and the professionalism of Gus Johnson.
Hey, man,
we'll give him that one, right?
I'm going to be straight up. I still remember Gus Johnson in the 2007 NCAA tournament when Ron Lewis from Ohio State sent the game in overtime and how animated he was in that one. Right. That was like one of the ones I was like, yo, who is this cat? I remember the name from there. Then I looked up a couple years later, he's calling NFL games for CBS. Chris Johnson highlights were never the same without Gus Johnson.
Gus Johnson is awesome, man. One of those voices that you just know.
Johnson went for 2K that year and Gus Johnson was on the call for majority of those.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Live.
Let him have it on. Let him have it live and in living color, man. Shout out to Gus Johnson, man. If you hadn't heard that call, go back and listen to it. It's definitely worth your time. But like we said, Penn State, you cannot blame that loss on James Franklin.
He's long gone. That fourth quarter, though, was probably one of the best fourth quarters of football, like just from a competitive standpoint. Not college, NFL, anybody that I think I've watched this year. It was a great fourth quarter.
Same goes for the University of Memphis football Tigers. I have a friend named Larry the Cable Guy. He says, get her done.
Yeah.
Gotta get her done, man.
Whatever happened to Larry the Cable Guy?
I don't know.
We'll find out another
time. Jeff Foxworthy, the action, you know.
Bill Engvall.
Yeah.
Blue Collar Court coming to tour.
Our guys that were sweating us about Balky and Larry, I'm pretty sure Kevin and all those guys, they'll give us some insight. Where the hell is Larry the Cable Guy? Y'all let us know. He ain't locked up or done nothing wrong or anything. No crying right now? Okay, he's doing his thing. Okay, we'll keep rolling while we're trying to get Mr. Jay Crane of Crane and Company on board. You know, hopefully he's still available. And if not, me and Jay Ham got you. We're locked and loaded right now. Like I said, big college football weekend. We'll stay right there. Let me go back. Ole Miss. Like I said, John Harden, where are you? You got a Houston win. You got an Ole Miss victory. Hopefully you're vacationing and resting very well. 49-0. Kneel, as they would say in the world of soccer or football. Ole Miss knocking off Citadel big time, but that was never in doubt. If you thought it was in doubt, you're probably a Lane Kiffin hater or something of that sort. Ohio State knocking off the Boilermakers of Purdue, going up there and getting a 34-10 victory.
I'm just hyped that they ain't cover.
Yeah, just what was the spread on it?
I think I had them at 29.5.
Oh, 24 wasn't enough?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, no Drew Brees.
Yeah, you win some, lose some.
Yeah, you win some, you lose some. Man, I had a horrible weekend, Ben. I'm good. Whew. We'll try again. That's all I say. Miami knocked off Syracuse 38-10. What's due? Miami. This is November. I think we were talking about Cristobal's record in November.
That's usually where he went to bed.
Yeah. So good. Okay. So I'll let Chris Ball have that. I let the Hurricanes be on that one. 38-10 for that one. My guys. Not going to say my team because they'll say, Darren, you're all over the place. You got Mississippi State. You got Texas A&M. Texas A&M, I mean, when they're rolling, dude,
it might be the best team.
But I know the pushback will be that Ohio State defense.
That's fair.
Them still, I hadn't looked. This week, I should have looked this week. They weren't giving up double digits points per game, you know, all season. Pretty sure that has not changed. They gave up 10 points to Ohio State, so they didn't hurt it that much. So I think they were giving up like 8 points a game or something of that nature. But when everything, when they're firing on all cylinders, dude, I really like Texas A&M. Like,
I really do, too.
I really like Texas A&M.
I'm looking at them like they really might be best team.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong 2 weeks from now.
I mean, because the brand is not there. That's all it really is. If you take this entire roster and you put it in Gainesville.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Or even to boil your point, the brand is there with Ohio State, and that's not to take anything away from those cats because you look just at their level of talent, how they're able to reload. They're able to reload at that ultimate clip like, hey, we got another squad again, you know? Yeah. Look at them, what the guys got in the NFL and how they're producing. And they all were there together at Ohio State, you know? So, and they kind of got the same flow that they got really, you know, going right now. So they'll be in the semifinals, no less, you know, so.
Well, they did, like I said, they definitely did not hurt their chances of this week looking really, really good. If I say Texas A&M, what football player comes to mind? Me, I don't know why it's always Dat Nguyen.
I can understand that because he was featured. I go with Von Miller.
Okay.
A lot of people don't think about Von Miller being there, but
I always think about Dat Nguyen.
Yeah, I mean, because it's an easy name to get out there, for one. Then you don't think about, you don't have too many Vietnamese stars.
And he was
in football.
Good, too.
And he was solid in there.
He was very good. So shout out to Texas A&M and Dat Nguyen, or wherever you may be, man.
They had a running back name, I think, Sir Parker at one time. I think he may have been there not around the time of Dat Nguyen.
Almost an excellent time to transition. I wish I was ready to talk about Sincere Parker and how he got down on Saturday. But we'll do that in just a second. Like I said, with our man Terry Davis of the new Tri-State Defender, he'll be coming up in our next segment in a little bit. But right now we're talking college football. You're listening to Happy Hour with Darian Newsom, Jay Ham. As you can tell, our man Mr. Yo-Yo-Yo Motorboat Monday is somewhere vacationing. We're not going to give him to the CIA this time because they're actually in town.
Nah, he cool.
We're not going to say he's riding on the expressway on a tricycle. No. So text her.
But y'all got to deal with ham and eggs today.
Yeah. A little ham and eggs right here live in full effect for you. Hopefully you're having a wonderful cold morning this morning. But like we said, the sports world, I mean, you can't go wrong. You know, we're jam-packed talking college football. We could have started talking pitching scandal. We could have talked Grizzlies. And I'm going to be ultimately positive today, too, sir. Today and tomorrow. Not going to say a bad word about the Grizzlies. I promise.
You know why?
I promise. No,
I think you felt okay with their effort over the weekend.
No.
They didn't get it done, but they played a little better.
I feel you, but I actually have a reason.
Okay.
My mother and Miss Margaret told me to stop talking trash about the Grizzlies.
Oh, so you've been threatened.
Been threatened, dog. Been threatened. So if you're watching, I got my Grizzly hat on and the whole nine.
Mom is one thing. What Miss Margaret say?
First of all, Miss Margaret don't like the fact that I'm a Laker fan. That's the first thing. So she's like, you cannot be a Laker fan and a Grizzly fan. Like, this is born and raised, but, I mean, I'm a Magic Johnson guy.
I mean,
I'm a James Worthy guy.
You're true to what you are, you know.
Paul Westphal. Like, you know, that's what we do. But, you know, she's like, the Ja Morant stuff and, you know, the coach, you got to give it time. The team, it's almost like they've been listening to Anthony saying, like, the team ain't whole. You can't, you know, you can't judge them yet. So I'm going to be ultimately positive with you and Terry Davis and Ball. You okay?
Because I'm in the middle of this because I'm quick to turn heel on anything. You know this.
I am too.
See, that's why we're a great partnership.
You set me up so perfectly because I'm doing all this just to say, no, I ain't. Because if you listened to Terry Davis in all of his post game, oh my God, wait till we get into that, y'all. We'll stick with college football.
You said stuff. I said stuff.
Dude.
We posted stuff.
Those answers from Triple J.
I didn't even listen to the press from last night.
Do you think your game is going to adjust when Zach Edey comes? Hold on. I wrote it down. You're going to get me in my bag, dude, already. Triple J says, I hope so. You hope so?
Yeah. S.E.D., here's the thing.
He's in his eighth season. At this moment, I need you to put your foot down, whether it's for yourself or
He's unbothered, dude.
Man, he's so unbothered. Say it again. We'll get into that.
He's unbothered.
Okay. Putting on lotion and whatnot. Unbothered.
I'm going to tell you this much. For a lot of the chatter, has it been about Trey Ja?
Yeah.
Ayton is the one that's going to get dealt.
Dude, and you can get a nice sack for him.
I'm just saying.
But like I said, we'll get it. Like, I'm like John Harden with that. You got me on that one, because then I wanted to get into Ja in his reply to a Terry Davis question. Like, we'll get into that. People, please go and look. If you want to kind of stay along with the story, and we'll obviously give Terry Davis an opportunity to tell his side. Terry Davis got a remarkable response, reaction, to a good question, I thought. A simple question. And it was kind of funny, but I mean, you can read between the lines a little bit. So we'll get into that a little bit. So knocking out this top 25 for the NCAA football. We went through Vandy. No, we didn't. Oregon. That's what I was at. Oregon taking down Mr. Kirk Ferentz and his Iowa team, 18-16, getting by what they call it, by the hairs of their chinny chin chin.
I can always count on Iowa to give me the under.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they ain't going to score a point. Especially only somebody that's going to go over in Iowa is Caitlin Clark, because she ain't there no more.
Look at you, man. I would wonder what their points per game is in November. The colder it gets, you ain't scoring up there, you ain't scoring up there now, dude. So even though they lost, like you said, they held a pretty high-powered offense in Oregon to just 18 points. Anchor down, once again, Vanderbilt, number 13, knocking off Auburn. And that was one of the big things. I was going to light Jake Crane's fuse, because if you watched any of Crane and Company that is on the website, on the YouTube, X and I think it's just YouTube and X. If you watch any of Crane and Company, you saw him going off on Auburn. I mean, he's
been going off on Auburn pretty much
undressed,
every week.
Yeah, he's like undressed the entire place. Like, what are we doing? So,
and I agree with him on that. I go back to like, hey man, why y'all just didn't leave Cadillac Williams with the job though? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a dude that's insulated within the program. He know what it is. He can connect. You know, with the young base, of talent. But, you know, y'all do SEC stuff, so you get SEC loser results.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, sir. Wake Forest giving a black eye to Virginia, 16-9. Ooh, Virginia.
That in Louisville with that.
Louisville, yeah, that was actually next. Cal walking into Louisville and knocking off the Cardinal 29-26. You got anything on it?
I mean, the ACC is wide open
for
a conference that's not really that good, you know, in that manner, where the traditional powers are at the bottom.
Yeah,
Clemson, Florida State, you know, they hanging around mid-level to the bottom of that. But I don't know, you know, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe the AAC can take their spot from the ACC, because they really, you know, AAC may be the better football conference.
Man, good luck on that.
I know. Good luck on trying to sell it.
Good luck on that. Yeah, you trying to sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck on that.
I ain't got nothing else to do, D.
Yeah. Come on, baby. Cal, man. Like I said, Cal walking into Louisville, 29-26. Navy got rumped by Notre Dame. We saw that coming. Marcus Freeman.
Take the over when you see them.
Yeah, take the over. But I don't know. We were having conversation. I was talking to Matt Enfield, Action News 5 weekend sports anchor over the weekend, just saying, could Marcus Freeman be coaching his last days at Notre Dame? And I swiftly just said LSU. And then I swiftly thought about it. He ain't following the same path.
He ain't following the same path. I thought about that too.
Then Matt looks down at me, yells at me, and says, D, where is he going? Like, give it to me. Like, you're looking at it, so tell me, where is he going? Because his point was, anywhere you say, they'll match it.
Yeah.
College-wise.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know who.
Auburn.
I don't know who has more Arkansas. Money than Notre Dame, you know.
Yeah. I mean, Notre Dame, see, this is the funny part about
Notre
Dame.
They made $200 million last year. You know.
And people cry about them not being in a conference and things of that nature. But I'm like, Do you realize what type of brand they are as a football outfit?
Golden Domers. If I tell you Golden Domers, you know.
That brand as a football is every bit as large
absolutely.
As what you would see as a Dallas Cowboy or a Green Bay Packer or, you know, an NFL brand. Just for how the longevity that they got historically, of course, the roster.
And that's the only place I can see him going is the NFL, speaking of that. Yeah. So
they still sell Notre Dame, like, in lure.
Yeah.
You absolutely. Know, that's one of the only. Rudy. I think that's the only college Rudy. Program that they still sell in lure like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, when you walk through the tunnel, everybody know you got to, you know, hit the
play like a champion today sign. You, and, you know, the Rudy movies and Newt Rockne stories and the whole, they still sell all of that. Except now they got dudes that play on the team that got gold grills.
There you go, baby. And last top 25 game, LSU, Alabama. Kind of ho-hum. We kind of removed away from the,
you Once know, upon a time, that game used to be appointment viewing, 8 p.m. Eastern on CBS.
There you go.
For about a decade strong.
I'm going to quickly give you some John Harden. You gave me a chill just a second ago. You know, I'm in a rap star with Once Upon a Time. I thought you was about to bust off, dog. Yeah, Once Upon a Time. I was like, where are you going with this? Okay, I mean, get it.
Think about how long that went, though. You know, say whether it was the one primetime game that CBS would get at ACC.
Absolutely.
I mean, SEC, or that 2:30 joint.
It was appointment TV, 2:30 or 8 o'clock. Or, I mean, you sat around. You got the buddies. I mean, before... I want to take it before the bidding.
Especially during Saban's run.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. It was definitely an appointment viewer.
Yes. It's
with his lineage, with his history with both schools, yes. Winning championships both there. Yes. It's always stayed there. It was just a better game.
So, Al, quickly, because we are about to get to a break, and we'll get our man Terry Davis on. I'll ask you one question I had slated for Mr. Jay Crane. Can Bama win it all?
Yep.
Bama can win it all. So not only Bama, how many teams can truly win it all? Not make it to the playoffs, but how many teams can actually win? You can hold it. We can keep for later on if you got to think about it. We can go to
Bama.
Break.
Let's go Bama. Of course, Ohio State. I'm sold with Indiana. I think Texas A&M is legit. I think on the right day.
Man, Mendoza might get that Heisman. I was with Ty Simpson, but when your man's make a catch like that for you. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. You hear me?
I'd probably say it's at least because I believe Ole Miss can catch anybody, and as well as Georgia.
Absolutely.
So it's about six, maybe.
Absolutely. All right. Oh, okay. I totally feel you. And that's a good number. Anywhere from.
It might cut down to three this time next week, but, you know.
Yeah. And then, I ain't going to throw them in there. I'll leave it on. Okay, 4-6, I'm with that. And like you said, by process of elimination, you'll get yourself down to 2 or 3. But right now, we are sitting in the Family Leisure Studios right now. You can hit us. You can call or text us. Join in. Tell us your thoughts about the weekend. Football, Penny Hardaway and his Tigers, 1-0, headed to Oxford tomorrow to go against the Ole Miss Rebels. You want to shout out the Houston Mustangs. You're on the Germantown side and you want to scream foul play. You know, Houston cheated you and you just need to get it out somewhere. Hey, me and Jay Ham, me and Eggs and Ham, however you want to call us, we're here for you. Hit us, call us or text us on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line, 901-360-8255. If you're at work, you can text it. You're driving in your car, or if you work at home, call us. You know, let us know how you feel. We want you to feel really involved in the show while Johnny Money's away. But time to get to a break right now on Happy Hour. On the other side of the break, guys, we're about to go Memphis football, Memphis basketball, Memphis Grizzlies basketball. All things Memphis coming up on the other side of the break. You're listening to Happy Hour on Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day at Sports 56 WHBQ Radio. This hour brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Here once again is Johnny Radio.
We definitely thank our sponsor, Memphis Mold Inspectors. You know, we got that little black mole like I got, you know, with my son driving us crazy. Gonna get that mole up out your house. Gonna call it our man, Stan Mosier. Oh, man. I was looking at Terry Davis's social media again, and I get sad each time I watch it. It's funny, but I get sad each time. So we're gonna bring on the man. He's gonna give us some of these answers to what's going on with the Grizzlies. And these post-game, I'm going to call them conversations. Well, I'm not going to call them antics. I don't think anybody was having any antics but the dude that was putting lotion on all up in front of you, Terry Davis. What's going on, baby?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
There you go, TRD. What's up, baby?
I'm good. Yeah, and you know what? I see that so often, man. I just don't even notice.
Oh, you know what? It is now. Now, some people are probably, you're probably not back there. They always put on lotion. My thing, it was in concert with the answering of the question. I guess you can say that too. They always answer. I just don't. I don't like the body language. Is Zach Edey going to have you adjust your game? I would love for that answer would have been no. My game is what it is. Zach is a part of this team. He's a new asset. You know, we'll incorporate him in, but my job is to go out here and get buckets. Like, what's up with Jared? How did you take that answer?
First of all, really, Jared didn't really want to talk to us. He tried to get away from talking to us last night. So he really had an attitude when it first came around to it.
Yeah.
So he tried to walk out. He walked out once. I think because, Ja was in a good mood last night. So Ja actually took a little while before he talked to us. And I think when Ja was talking to us, Jaren slipped out while we wasn't paying attention. And then they had to go and get him.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to talk last night for some reason. He had somewhere to be or somewhere to do or somewhere to go for this, like, 8-day road trip. So yeah. He was in a bad mood anyway. So, Jaren does that from time to time.
Yeah, but that's not what you want after 8 years of being in this league. Pretty much seeing it all.
You want more maturity.
I want Charles Barkley in that locker room, dude, at this moment, man. But, you got to keep rooting him on. You know, it's social media era. You don't want to say too loud because then he'll come knocking at the door asking Ms. Margaret where I'm at because we're talking about him on the radio. So I'm going to leave it off. All right, TRD. On to how did you feel with Ja Morant? You asked him about camaraderie, about winning in the fourth quarter down the stretch. And I want to know, what were you thinking when he started looking around the locker room and counting? Because I was wondering what the hell he was doing.
I knew, when he was doing that, see, Ja knows what to say, when to say it. He was looking at and counting the number of people that was back from last year. He said it was 11, but it's really not that, less than that. And if you look at that, the numbers actually playing, the numbers lower than that. And this team don't know how to win yet, because they don't know how to close games out. Twice they had double-digit leads at halftime. Then after halftime, it either coaching or lack of execution, but something ain't right. They don't know how to close out games yet. So every year, just because the team was different, comes back next year, you still had to learn how to win and play together. And that's the question I was trying to get out of him. But he was trying to not to throw nobody under the bus.
Yeah.
And he was just trying to say, no, we know what to do. We just ain't doing it.
What did he say?
But was trying to throw somebody under the bus. I ain't going to call no name.
What did he say? What's my celebration? I mean, then I think everybody in the area kind of got what he was getting.
Right.
Well,
yeah. Lost me, and then he came back and answered questions.
Yeah, he came back. He came back.
I thought he was asking somebody else questions. I said, what question he answering?
Man.
I thought it was just me.
All right, looking ahead, what are you expecting on this four-game road trip? I think you just said they'll be out total of 8 days.
Three losses, and maybe return of Ty Jerome.
Maybe.
When we ask them when somebody returning back, they're for their timeline. We just go see them. When they show up, that's when we go see them play. Because technically, Zach Edey's supposed to come back on this road trip and Ty Jerome, according to the latest media release by the Memphis Grizzlies.
Aside from Jaren Jackson's game going to adjust when Zach Edey comes back, what can we expect from big man? Is he 100% healthy, or is he just rushing?
Absolutely nothing. He hadn't played in the preseason. He hadn't played in the regular season. He hadn't played in one game. He played with the Hawks.
Yeah.
That ain't nothing. Don't expect nothing from him for the first week he gets back. Don't expect nothing. Everything you get from here is great.
Okay.
You're just happy he's on the floor.
With the happy being on the floor, and I'm going to let Jay Ham jump in here in just a sec. I wanted to kind of piece this together. Does he put everybody back in their right places? Like, if he doesn't come in and, making an immediate impact from a standpoint of points, rebounds, but does he put the aces back in their places, so to speak? Because I know what Jaren's saying. Jaren doesn't like being the big man on the floor.
Jaren ain't the big man on the floor now because he ain't the big man on the floor. He's still playing stretch four. Jaren is still playing his position. Everybody's playing his position. Only position going to change Is the starting center going to go to the bench?
And that's Landale, right?
And that's Jock Landale.
Okay.
And he's going to be a bigger – he's going to set screens more for Ja, so they may open the middle up for Ja and Ja get into the hole a little bit more for the mid-range floaters, because he already told you he's not going to the rim attacking because he don't want to get hurt, which – I agree. I don't want him hurt.
He tried to get Hardenstein with one yesterday, though.
Yeah, he did try to get one.
He said he wasn't trying. He said he wasn't trying.
Sometimes they just come organically, though.
Yes, that's what it was. It's just one of them, you know, how your body reflects. Say, okay, I'm going to do this. And don't worry about it. How did I get here? That's what it was. One of those memory things.
T.D., let me ask you this. If we're fortunate enough at this point to where John Jaren hadn't missed a game yet.
Yes.
And if we continue except on that, okay, yeah. If we continue, except for the Toronto, you're right. If we continue on that and keep them on the floor with this group, it's got to be in ultimate evidence they're going to get better, you know, just over time, and they continue to play together.
Okay, what have I been saying since June? This team, this roster is not constructed well.
Right.
They don't have great outside shooting.
No.
They don't have great defensive consistency. Until they address those two issues,
right,
this team is not going to be that great. Because, you know, they said they got rid of Desmond Bane and Luke Kennard because they were plus minus on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave you great outside shooting.
Yeah.
That's the offense they want us to play. That's what he said, right?
Yeah. Right. And if you got people who that are not going to consistently hit outside shots, the going to the rim and the points in the paint is not going to be significant. The two things you need to look at is after every box score is points in the paint and outside shooting percentage. Mm-hmm. If you look at those and assists, and the assists around 25 to 30, Memphis got a chance to win.
Yeah, because they was in that spot last night for three quarters, but then when they got in the second half, that Oklahoma City defense turned up, the lanes shut down, everything. They were just more attentive on that particular end, and they really didn't have to walk it back down. It just kind of organically flowed back down for the Thunder. That's just how good of a basketball team they are, especially with two guys that, you know, two starting rotational guys that's not even in the lineup right now for them. Next man up just comes in, whether it's A.J. Mitchell, whether it's Cason Wallace, whether whoever it is, they just come in, fill that up, and then they keep rolling. They 10-1, you know. But
Memphis had the problem.
Yeah.
When they were up 19 points.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They took their foot off the gas, and they got pretty. Instead of building that 20-point lead up to a 30-point lead, which would have made it harder for them to come back, that's when they changed the game.
Did they run out of bullets, you think?
Nope. They didn't run out of bullets.
Okay.
I'm not going to say what happened, but, you know.
No, somebody, give it to us.
Somebody trying to play hero ball, and then, you know, it turned out
into what it turned out. Yeah. You're listening to Happy Hour. Right now we're joined by Terry Davis, trying to stay different. Terry, before I went to break, I said this is going to be the Memphis segment, so I want to turn your attention to Anthony Penny Hardaway. That's 23 straight home opener wins for the Memphis Tigers. Were you in the building against San Francisco?
Of course I was.
Absolutely. I knew you were. That's what I was trying to set you up for. What'd you see? What'd you like? What are you thinking about the Tigers after their first 1-0 start?
Okay. I was more impressed with them with their defensive problems than they were, you know, the first couple games. First couple games, just like last year, they gave up 100 points, looked like trash and all like that. But they showed me something yesterday against San Francisco. They made San Francisco look really bad for a long stretch of the period. But only thing about it, they allowed San Francisco to stay in the game. They shot better, but they just didn't knock them out. So they got to learn how to get that killer in them. So when they get up 10, 15, 20, they can push at the 30 so you can take a person's heart out. Because if you don't take a team's heart out, two or three threes later, you're back in the ball game. You don't want to be back in the ball game. But I'm proud of the way they held on and they won. So that experience. I don't expect them to go down to Ole Miss and beat them tomorrow because that's going to be rough. They hadn't won down there in a while. So if they go down there and beat Ole Miss, this team's going to. Yeah, they own to something. But I don't expect to win down there, especially with the talent and how things normally go down to Oxford. Yeah, I expect a close game, but I don't expect them to come back with a win.
Yeah, the 3-point line or the 3-point shot is always the great equalizer. Tigers winning 76-70 over USF. And last question on this before we get to break. Hopefully you can hang with us on the other side.
Of course I can. Of course I can.
Penny Hardaway, he seemed a little bit different in his post-game presser, and he even said so. He said, you guys, speaking of the media, you guys are used to me coming in and just being extremely direct and to the point. Almost sounded, you know, to say he's a Debbie Downer almost. But he said he's looking toward the positives this year, and he took away a lot of the positive things from the game. Do you see a difference in him coaching from what you see right now? Because he's alluding to that he's kind of, you know, I guess maturing right in front of our eyes.
Yes, he took the attitude I had. He had you got to have a positive attitude, because he went back and looked at the way he looked in the last presser last Wednesday, and you know, and somebody got to him and said, Penny, you can't be doing and saying what you feel like that, because you know our donors who write those checks, you know, they don't write checks to a losing team, so you got to come back in with a better attitude. And he had a better attitude on Saturday.
Okay, good deal. I can definitely tell, because like I said, in this post game, when he is addressing things like that, I think Penny's very intentional with how he handles the Memphis media, knowing that he's from here and a lot of these people have been knowing him forever. He kind of keeps us in tow and let us know that he's in control without being overbearing. But right now, Terry, we're going to take a quick break, pay a few bills right now. We're going to see you on the other side of this break. You're listening to Sports 56 Happy Hour without Mr. Johnny Radio, who's on vacation. You're listening to Darian and Jay Ham, the bacon and egg. Can I be bacon?
You might as well be.
Be bacon, ham.
Go for it.
How come you can't be bacon and ham?
Because the John is bacon. That's what the streets call it. Apparently, I'm eggs. Terry,
I'd rather have bacon and ham than bacon and eggs.
No, that's what I'm saying. They call me eggs, man. But we'll see y'all on the other side. You're listening to Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour with Johnny Radio. This hour brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Here once again is Johnny Radio.
Yo, welcome back to Happy Hour on Sports 56. I am Darian Newsom, sitting in for one John Harden. Hanging in with me is my man, Mr. Jay Ham. Want to give a shout out to all of our sponsors in light of John not being here. Tito's, I Buy Houses, Memphis Mold Inspectors, High-Low Commercial Services, everyone that takes part in this beautiful show.
Don't forget about Pimp and Rick.
Got Pimp and Rick.
Who's Pimp and Rick?
Rick's Powder Coat. That's what he called him. He called Rick. Rick's Powder Coat. We call him Pepper Rick.
The fun part with Terry D just from out of the blue. Like, who's Pepper Rick?
We missing somebody. No, Terry
D. That's like a South Memphis brother.
Yeah, that is probably John's South Memphis brother, man. But Jay Ham gave him that nickname, Pepper Rick. And I think I'm the only person that picks it up every time. But we are joined by Terry Davis right now. And want to switch gears. We're still talking Memphis, y'all. Thank y'all for hanging with us. We're going to turn our attention to... was this a funeral on Friday? A wake?
No, it's not. It wasn't a funeral.
What was this on Friday that we saw, Terry?
It was a case of Brian. You know, if Brian hadn't played the quarterback in a 31-7 game in Rice, in a meaningless game, then he wouldn't been hurt, because the margin of error for this team is really small. You could not have nobody get injured. If he had not been injured, the outcome might have been different, but you can't, you cannot hurt yourself. He cannot be, you know, your quarterback, you know, he's been hurt before, and you had him in the Rice game. And when I saw him walking in on the Tiger Walk, limping in, I knew we was in trouble.
Yeah. And you're 100%, but also, what about the other side of the ball? You know, there's an offense, a defense, and a special teams. And I'm looking at these notes right here. Mr. Retzlaff, I hope I'm saying it right, 16 for 23, 332 yards, 3 tutties. I mean, he had himself a ball game. We couldn't stop him.
We couldn't stop him in the first half, because they scored 35 points in the first half, but they only scored 3 points in the second half. And if Mr. Cortez had not looked on the inside for that last pass, and he had kept running his route.
You know, you're right there by the pylon, right where he looked over
over
the right shoulder instead of the left shoulder.
Yes, because he's so used to the ball being on the throne. But if he had just kept going.
JM, did you pick that up?
You know, he would have been walking in for a touchdown. But that was a beautiful thrown ball. You know, and you know, I could question some of the play calling, and then Ryan has always mismanaged the clock. You know, they don't go hurry up when they need to go to hurry up, and they don't take advantage of situations when they need to. When they need to slow it down, they don't do stuff. You know, and when 8 minutes in the clock, they were still playing slow down game, and I knew they would come back to haunt them in the end because they needed that time, because they needed three scores, and they was running like they was not in a 2 minute warning.
I didn't want to go John Harden on you, but I was about to say, when it's time to slow down, they don't know how to do stuff.
They don't know how to do it.
They sound like some wives out here, though. Keep going. All right, that's my John Harden moment. Go ahead.
I mean, this one is like really sucked, though, bro, because it's like the whole air just went out. When I actually woke up and I'm like, okay, they down? And I'm expecting them to roll, you know, but it's like for them to be in that position and get there, it's like that first half they got dug. They dug a hole that was too deep for them to come up out of. You know, so how do we respond going forward in forward seasons wise with this? Because we got a good football program. We set a new standard in terms of what's acceptable. You know, we like 9-10 win seasons. We want to get to the play for the conference title. How do we get there?
Can we play in Snoop Dogg's Bowl? Let's play in Snoop Dogg Bowl. Like that's
okay. Put it this way: even in their current situation, if they go out and win their next two games, beat East Carolina and beat Nate, they would still put themselves in position to play for a championship game. And then if they play for a championship game, I don't know nobody or anybody. But if Ryan makes it to the championship game, Memphis might have a new head coach next year.
Ooh, wait, then they better. All right, quickly, Terry D, what happened to your man A-Rod last night? 25-10 against the Chargers.
I saw that game, man. It's almost like he took an old man pill, man. He couldn't throw nothing. It was a bad game. I'm just talking about the one bad game because they got Cincinnati this week. And, you know, I don't judge the season until after the season over, period.
I'm with you. I don't disagree with Terry Davis too often, Mr. Ham, but guess what? If he'd have took an old man pill, one of the real ones, I bet you he'd have played better.
That's not an old man pill. That's a young man pill.
Hey, he'd been good to go all four quarters. Terry D, tell them where they can find you, baby.
Man, Terry D 515, man. You can always find me. I'm easy to find. Just look for me on social media.
We'll do it. You blowing up on social media. Put your watermark on there, dog. They starting to steal your videos, man.
I knew
he didn't care.
I care. I'm going to start saving them, and I'm going to start his watermarking and send them back to you, man.
I knew he didn't care. When he put that other post, I said 5,000 views. I said, he ain't doing nothing but just one.
Because you got great work, man. Your work needs to be stamped. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. All right, Terry. You'll have Johnny Money next week off of vacation. Thank you, man.
Holla, peace.
All right, y'all. On the other side, we getting into a Ball U Academy, not university.
We're going to talk about the letter S and its five things that the letter S start with that revolve around the game that we're seeing some of the winning teams in the NBA apply right now.
That's Happy Hour on Sports 56, 985 FM. Meet us on the other side.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Running a